Gospel music at its best. Catch the wave in A&B.
Catch the wave on the NFI, coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina, in the studios of the NFI Gospel Network.
In HD2. Come on in. We've been expecting you. Catch the wave.
How many of y'all in here been going through some stuff? And you feel like you've been trapped and can't get out? If you don't mind testifying one more time, touch one more person one time by the hand. Come on, real quick. And tell a neighbor, the hand you're holding is an anointed hand. The hand you're holding is a powerful hand. The hand you're holding been through this and been through that. And tell them, out of everything I've been through, I still got my joy. And tell them that tonight, everything I'm still in, I'm coming out tonight. Now grab them by the hand and tell them, when I come out, I'm bringing you with me. Oh! Glory to God. Somebody say yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen at me. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah. All over this house, we adore you.
The very best in contemporary music.
Check it out now. With the flow, here we go, yo.
Yeah, baby. Come on.
Traditional music.
And you hope they're going to be with you always. But when you get in trouble, you can't find them. It's part of the process. Because God trying to cut folk that always pulling from you but never give back to you.
It's all live right here on the NFI Radio Gospel Network, coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina. The word with power.
Do you love the Lord? Did you bring some praise? Let everything that have breath do what? And we will bless the Lord when? Come on with your own mouth, in your own ways. Give God some hallelujah praise.
Be sure to tune in with overseer William Eli Radcliffe pastor of the Lincoln Park Holiness Church, 13 Heat Street, Raleigh, North Carolina, zip code 27610, every Thursday at 9:30 a.m. and on Sundays at 11:30 a.m. here on the NFI Radio Gospel Network. NHD2, come on in. We've been expecting you. Catch the wave.
You can accept it. You will leave those state troopers glutted with their own barbarity. If you can accept it, you will do something that will transform conditions here in Alabama. And so I'm not worried this afternoon, however dark it may be, however difficult it may be. I know that it is true, the truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne.
Yes, sir.
That is another part of that great statement. Yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. The Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow.
Music at its best. Catch the wave in HD2.
You got to have Jesus in this world alone. Ain't no way to live in this world alone. We got to have Jesus in this world
Catch the Wave from the NFI Studios live in Raleigh, North Carolina. Catch the Wave.
We'll be right back live from the NFI Studios in Raleigh, North Carolina, with more of the very best in gospel music and the Word Ministry.
On the NFI, coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina, in the studios of the NFI Gospel Network.
NHD2, come on in. We've been expecting you. Catch the Wave.
I am just a soldier.
Y'all, let's put your hands together for the talented, the lovable, the unnatural voices of Evangelist Maggie Ingram and the Ingramettes. Come on! Maggie Ingram and the Ingramettes. Come on, y'all. Yeah. Maggie Ingram and the
way. Walking in the light, walking in the light. Hughes. James Mercer Langston Hughes, born February 1, 1902, in Joplin, Missouri, was an American poet, novelist, playwright, short story writer, and columnist. He was one of the earliest innovators of the new literary art form jazz poetry. Hughes is best known for his work during the Harlem Renaissance. Money was a nagging concern for Hughes throughout his life. While he managed to support himself as a writer, he was never financially secure. However, through his work writing the lyrics for the Broadway musical Street Scene, Hughes was finally able to earn enough money to purchase a house in Harlem. Langston Hughes was best known for his poems, I Dream a World, I Too, The Negro Speaks of Rivers, The Weary Blues, Montage of a Dream Deferred. We honor Langston Hughes.
NHD2. Come on in. We've been expecting you. Catch the wave.
To the end.
NFI. North Carolina, Georgia, California, New York, Seattle, Washington, around the world, in stereo, NFI, Radio Gospel Network, the number one quartet station in the world.
Come on and put your hands together. Has God brought anybody out of here this morning? Come on, put your hands together. Ooh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was deep in sin, and I had no peace within. He brought me out.
He brought me out. have made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is Apostle Barbara Watson coming to you from Lewisburg, North Carolina, Christian Life Church of God, Inc., along with
Co-Pastor Gladys Smith. We invite you to join us on Tuesdays from 9:30 to 10 o'clock a.m. and on Thursdays from 1 o'clock to 1:30 p.m., where we teach the Word of God and we enjoy the Word of God. Join us.
Catch the way. Hello, this is Elder Callahan, Pastor Word of Deliverance Ministry on NFI Gospel Radio Network. I'm inviting you to come and listen to me on Tuesdays at 1 o'clock p.m. every week. And I am so excited, and Word of Deliverance means that if you are bound down with something and you want to get free, just come and get a word from the Lord. Because we try to say exactly what the Lord say. I'm inviting you to come on Tuesdays at 1 o'clock. Come and catch the wave in Jesus' name.
Be sure to join Elder Kerry Hurst, Pastor of Word of Deliverance Ministries, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the NFI Radio Gospel Network.
We're taking quartet music to another level. Catch the wave 7 days a week, 8 to 5, keeping it live on the NFI. Hello, somebody. It's the NFI.
Gordon Park, born stillborn, no heartbeat, and put aside for burial. When Dr. Gordon immersed him in ice cold water and shocked his heart into beating. Named after the doctor who saved his life, this photographer, filmmaker, poet, novelist, and composer went on to being the only black photographer working for Vogue in 1944.
Catch the wave on the NFI, coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina, in the studios of the NFI Gospel Network.
Talking about this lady all last week, and you had an opportunity to see her on TBN. Those of you that tune in on last Wednesday had a chance to see her, and she's right here standing by in the studios, and I'm speaking of none other than Sister Tawana Williams. God bless you. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here today.
Well, I'm glad to have you here, and I see that you are a very busy lady.
Yes, I am. God is really blessed. This is my 19th year of being a motivational speaker and traveling all over the country with my husband, Toby. And guess what, Mr. Kearney? We've been doing this for 19 years, but 9.5 of those years, we did it for free. Good God Almighty.
All right. Well, look at God. But, you know, I know you are, and I'm happy for you, those that are listening. We go way back. I met Sister Tawana, I don't know how many years it's been.
Oh, maybe about 16 or 17 years ago.
Yeah, about 16, 17 years ago, and God has truly just taken you to another level, and you always spoke positive thing that would take place, and I'm seeing that manifest through you. And the listening audience, if we could just give a little bit of your testimony so they'll know where you came from and where you are today.
Amen. Well, first of all, I want to say that I was blessed to be born without arms and impaired use of my legs due to the drug thalidomide that was given to my mother when she was pregnant with me. Then my mother told me there was nothing that I could not do. And I had a Grandma Rogers that did not play with me. And when I was 4.5 years old, she looked me in the eyes and she said, T, you must not have needed arms because God didn't give them to you. She said, nothing's missing. If you don't have it, then you don't need it. Glory to God. I'm excited about that statement because those words resonate in my heart on a daily basis. My Grandma Rogers did not play with me. But ladies and gentlemen, I've overcome some major adversities throughout my life. I was gang raped many years ago during a home invasion, raped by my stepfather. I was addicted to crack and cocaine for 10 long years. I've experienced abortion, motherhood, and a stroke. So I know that I'm here to help you overcome whatever adversities you may be facing in your life, and that's why I am unarmed but dangerous. That's who I am, Mr. Kearney. I'm unarmed, but I'm dangerous, and I'm on fire for the Lord, and I'm here to let you know that all things are possible to them that believe.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I give God the praise for you to take time out to share that information with them and, you know, a little bit more about a little bit of you, those of them that may not know, that the Lord bless you with a daughter.
Absolutely. My daughter is almost 29 years old, and the seed continues with my grandbabies. I got 3 grandboys, and I love life. I love being a mama and helping and nurturing my boys and just showing them the way. Me and my husband, Toby, we're showing our boys the way and just realizing that God can do anything but fail.
Oh, glory to God. You know, can you, you know, I listen to people a lot, and they complain about this, complain about that, and just listening to you. And, you know, we have a lot of young ladies out there today, a lot of young men that are having children, and they always want to, after they get ready to do what they want to do, they want to take them over to grandma and granddad, want them to babysit for them. And I was listening at you. Now, can you explain to them, what did you have to do when you had to feed your daughter and put on Pampers? How were you able to manage that?
First of all, I'm just tell you this right now. That was my figure-it-out moment. You know, sometimes in life you don't have instructions nor directions. You just got to move on what you have and what God tells you to do. And I'm telling you, changing a baby and taking care of my baby, that was my figure-it-out moment. I did what I had to do. I told you I was blessed to be born without arms, so I did what I had to do. I put a blanket on the floor. I put my baby on top of that blanket. I changed her pamper. I fed her. I braided her hair. Whatever I needed to do, I did it. Why? Because I'm unarmed, but I'm dangerous, and I don't make excuses. I create results. That's who I am.
Now, some of the listeners may say, well, I understand that you did do that, so they're probably asking, how did you change their pampers if you didn't have arms?
I did it with my feet. I just do what I do. Look, check this out. Go to www.TawanaWilliams.com, TawanaWilliams.com, and see for yourself. God is no respecter of person. What he did for others, he can do it for you. He can do it for me. I'm telling you, he's an on-time God, and he can do anything but fail. Yes, I was born without arms. Yes, I've had all these challenges in my life. But guess what? I'm still here. I'm making it happen. I don't make excuses for what I don't have. I create what I want. You know, I made it happen. I make things happen for myself. I create what I want. The world told me years ago, Mr. Kearney, they said, you can't get a job. How you going to do this? How you going to do that? But guess what? I was crazy enough to do. I created my own job. Today, I am the CEO of Tawana Williams Outreach. I write my own paychecks. Good God Almighty. And you can do it too, even without arms. Good God Almighty.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, it sounds good to me.
Absolutely. Ain't nobody scared. Ain't nobody mad. The devil thought he had me, but guess what? I'm here. I'm still here. I'm doing what God told me to do. Yes, I was beat up back in the day. Yes, my mindset was messed up back in the day, but guess what? Today, I know who I am. I am Tawana Williams, unarmed but dangerous. That's who I am, a messenger of hope and inspiration to the world. And ain't nobody scared and ain't nobody mad.
Nobody but the devil.
That's right.
Look, let me go ahead, because there's so much I want to ask, and I know I don't have all the time. And we're definitely going to give you that opportunity to give out your number if someone want to reach you to book you for an engagement to come out to speak. Let me ask you this. Let's talk a few minutes about your book. Now, you had this book out for a little while, and give them a little information about the book.
Absolutely. Unarmed But Dangerous is my bestseller, my best-selling book. And when I talk about, you know, Unarmed But Dangerous, I talk about what I realized and discovered about myself. You know, going through my life, always seeing and observing people do things around me, things that I thought about doing and dreamed about doing, and yet I continued to rule those things out for me, because when I thought about what I really wanted to do, my heart said, Tawana, you can do this. Then my mind asked me, how? How you gonna do it? I'm telling you, Mr. Kearney, my mind said I couldn't do it. But guess what? One day I realized that I could do it. I said, God told me I could do it, and guess what? I'm going to do it. That's what I've done, and I'm unarmed, but I'm dangerous. I make things happen. I'm pushing people all around the world and letting them know that they can do it too. If you want it, don't give yourself any more excuses not to have it. Go get your stuff. Go make it happen for yourself. And you know, Unarmed But Dangerous, we're on a campaign right now. Unarmed But Dangerous is going to be my debut movie. We're working on the movie right now as we speak, and we are excited about what God is doing. But Unarmed But Dangerous, the movie, is going to be a game changer, and it's going to help people around the world that complain about everything, make excuses for everything, and live mediocre lives. It's time to step it up. This movie is going to make you step up your A game and make it happen for yourself, and I am so excited about what God is doing for such a time as this. And we are campaigning and fundraising. And as a matter of fact, you are also invited, Mr. Kearney, but I'm trying to invite to the audience for those who live in the area or don't live in the area. It doesn't matter. We're having a big benefit gala for the movie. We are excited because you know what, Mr. Kearney? The doctors told my mom that I would not live to be 2 weeks old. I'm almost going to my 52nd birthday. Hallelujah. Then the doctor said, well, if she lives, she'll never walk. Well, I've been walking since the age of 2. Then they said, well, if she lives and walks, she'll never have children. Good God Almighty. I told you, my daughter April is almost 29 years old, and the seed continues with my 3 grandbabies. So I'm telling you today that your dreams and your life, you shall live and not die. I don't care what your circumstances are. I don't care what the enemy told you. I'm telling you today that you shall live and not die. Good God Almighty. I'm fired up and I'm excited about what God is doing for such a time as this.
Oh, glory to God. Look, now, those of you that are listening right now, if you like to speak with Sister Tawana Williams, and you have a question that you would like to ask her, certainly you can call in right now and ask her a question and speak to her live. Here's the number, 347-215-8049. That number again is 347-215-8049. Sister Tawana, I know there's so much we could talk about. Now, your husband has been there with you, been beside you, been there with you through this. And I know there have been some challenges, and maybe there have been some times when others may not understood how you communicate and how he communicate with you.
Yes, sir. You know, Toby and I, we're just connected. First of all, let me say we have been married for 23 years. We've been together in a relationship for 28 years. But guess what? We've been friends for more than 43 years. Toby and I were childhood friends. So you know what? It started, it was a foundation of love. It was a foundation of communication. It was a foundation of taking care of each other. I'm telling you, he was my childhood friend, and today we are married, we are one, we are making a difference around the world, and can't nobody stop what God have done. Good God Almighty, I'm excited about our relationship, our union, our love for each other. We make things happen together all around the world. That's what we do, and we're excited about it. You know, like I said,
Amen.
This is our 19th year. August will be 19 years of traveling the country. We go to schools, churches, prisons, daycares, nursing homes, sororities, colleges, fraternities, corporations, organizations. If you call, we show up. We don't play. We make things happen, and you can do it too. Good God Almighty.
Oh,
I'm excited.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. I am so happy for you. And when you were speaking concerning you and your husband, I you know, the Bible talks about agape love, and that's what you all have. You all have that agape love that many people try to say that they are in love and they love that person. But agape love is a greater love than just natural love that the world understands. And that's what
Absolutely.
You and your husband have, agape love.
Yeah, that's what we have, and we love it, and we're together. We're getting ready to do some new things in the future. I'm not going to say when, but we're going to work on a relationship book, a relationship course. We're going to start traveling as a couple and changing lives with marriages. We got the church. Everybody is divorced, and, you know, all of these relationships are broken. Well, we're getting ready to move some things. We're getting ready to change some things with relationships and marriages, and we're going to show people how to do it and what God requires to be man and wife.
Good gracious of life. Look, you're going to get something started here. But look, once again, those of you just tune in, we want to welcome you to the NFI Radio Gospel Network. We're coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm your host, the Anointed One, and we have standing by talking with us today this awesome woman that has a book just left last week on TBN television broadcast, Sister Tawana Williams, who has shared some of her testimony, and she's getting ready to finish up on this movie that she's working on. And who knows what else God has for her in the weeks ahead. And I'm very excited about what I've heard and what she's been sharing. Now, Sister Tawana, let's do this before we forget. Now, if someone wants to call you for an engagement, what number can they reach you?
Okay, you can reach me at 252-291-6081. Once again, 252-291-6081, or you can reach me on the internet at www.tawanawilliams.com. That's AWANA Williams.com. And as I said earlier, we're campaigning and we're raising funds for the movie. And for those of you who would like to support that vision, please go to www.gofundme.com/unarmed-but-dangerous-movie. Again, gofundme.com/unarmed-but-dangerous-movie. We are excited, Mr. Kearney. God is going to do it. He's doing it. And I can't wait till everything just manifests itself. Glory to God. We are excited about what God is doing. Because you know what? If you continue to sow and give and help and push, guess what? At some point, you're going to get your harvest. You're going to be blessed right where you are. So I thank God, you know, for being the person that I am, and to continue to push people and to help people and to let people know that all things are possible to them that believe. You know, Zig Ziglar said years ago, he said, if you help enough people get what they want, you'll automatically get what you want. And I thank God for the reaping time is coming. It's near, and I'm excited.
Oh, glory to God. Oh, I tell you, I really appreciate you taking time out. We had talked maybe about a month ago, and we had kind of lost communication with each other, and it was just amazing how God connects with us, and we are able to get back and share some great things and get involved with what we are doing. And the great thing about it, from the time we've met, I see that you haven't lost any of what God is doing and what he's about to do, and I've been doing the same thing. So I'm so grateful that you're taking time out off of your busy schedule.
Absolutely. You know, challenges come to make us strong, Mr. Kearney. Everything that I went through throughout my life, it wasn't for me. It was to help somebody else, and then it was to strengthen myself, my muscles, to push me to the other side, good God Almighty. 4 years ago, the doctor said that it was over for me. I had a stroke, they say, but we call it our mind interruption. It was just a little interruption. It was just a little hiccup. You know, I didn't have the physical effects of a stroke. It just took my memory, good God Almighty. That day, I didn't know my name, my social, my husband. Everything was gone. But look at God. 3 days after that, it was God just reiterated things for me. God just reprogrammed my mind. He resurrected my life again. So I thank God for being who I am and doing what I do. And I'm telling the people today that all things are possible to them that believe. If you can believe a thing, guess what? You can have a thing. You can do a thing. Don't give yourselves any more excuses not to have it. You know, give yourself permission to let things happen for you. I'm telling you, I gave myself permission a long time ago. I told myself, I said, Tawana, you can do it. You can have it. It's yours. You can believe it. It's tangible. Go get your stuff back. And guess what I did? I got it back. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but there are some things in you that you don't know what you can do. There are some things in your life that you have that have tried to stop you, but I'm telling you today that you can do this. Open the door, knock on the door and open it, run in it, and go get your stuff back. Get your dreams off the shelf. Go make it happen for yourself. I don't know who I'm talking to, but God Almighty knows.
Amen, amen. Sister Tawana, our time is about up, and I'm going to be getting back with you, you know, a little later on after we get off the air today. Amen, amen. Sister Tawana, we thank you so much from the NFI studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina, for that wonderful, wonderful information and that testimony and all that God is pouring out upon you. And may the Lord just continually, richly bless you like never before.
Amen. Thank you so much, Mr. Kearney. We love you, and God bless you and your dreams and what you're doing, too. Thank you so much.
You're certainly welcome.
When I look back over my
Catch the Wave on the NFI, coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina, in the studios of the NFI Gospel Network.
NFI, North Carolina, Georgia, California, New York, Seattle, Washington, around the world, in studio, NFI, Radio Gospel Network, the number one quartet station in the world. In HD2, come on in, we've been expecting you. Catch the Wave, gospel music at its best. Catch the Wave in HD2.
Ready, set, come on with it, come on with it. I mean, make that good time wild. Do it one more time, come on.
Listen. Don't be alone.
naked pride and not ashamed to lift your hands and tell the world, God I live and for God I die. Is there anybody to tell the world that you put God first? If you know you put Him first, put your hands together.
Anybody here don't love it stronger than a hand?
again. I dare you to just look at somebody, take somebody by the hand and tell them, neighbor, I love you. Come on. Say, neighbor, I really love you. Now look at them and tell them, love is stronger than hate. Yes, it is. Yeah. Can I say one thing, y'all? Is it all right? Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If you have love one to another, and that's not all he said. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another like I have loved you. And all he was saying, love. I wish I had about 5 witnesses in this house. Stronger. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 13. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And guess what? He said this too. Though I give my body to be burned, if I don't have love, I'm just a sounding brass, and I'm a tinkling cymbal. Paul was saying the same thing that Jesus said, love. You see, love is not puffed up. Love is not envious. Love is not jealous. Lee Williams said, love will go all the way. Can I get a witness? Is love stronger? Say it a little one more time. Yeah, yeah, love.
coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina, in the studios of the NFI Gospel Network.
And now, let's join Bishop Sandy T. Burks, pastor of New Restoration Community Church, 18 East Andrews Avenue, Henderson, North Carolina, P.O. Box 1411, zip code 27536, Henderson, North Carolina. That's New Restoration Community Church. And now, let's join Bishop Sandy T. Burks with part one message for today. There is an anointing for a change from this time forward. Here's Bishop Burks.
I ask that you return to the book of 1 Samuel. Amen. And we're going to direct your attention to the 16th chapter of the book of Samuel. And certainly I solicit your prayers. I've been really battling cold. Amen. And I'm really trying to make sure that I do the right things. So we want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. So I don't have my full capacity this morning, but we're going to do what we can. 1 Samuel chapter 16, and we're going to direct your attention to one particular verse of Scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 16, and we're going to direct your attention to, amen, verse 13. And Minister Canty is going to read the word of the Lord in your hearing.
Here begins the reading of God's word. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah.
Amen. Thus far, the scripture. She read that Samuel, amen, the prophet and the judge, took the horn of oil and he anointed him being David, amen, in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And so Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Attempting to take a thought that I want to leave with you, if you will, just turn to your neighbor and repeat these words. And neighbor, there is an anointing for change from this day forward. Amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. There is an anointing, not just the Spirit of God moving upon you to make you feel good, but there is an anointing that's moving upon the God's people for change. Amen. To change circumstances, to change your finances, to change the way you think, to change things that's going on in your life. There is an anointing for change. One of the things that we must understand that I want to share with you as believers of God, I want to explain to you that when we look at the word anointing, a very simple definition for the anointing is what God empowers you to give you the ability to achieve with a purpose. The anointing is the enabling power of God that allows you, amen, to move under the unction of the Spirit of God that will enable you to do things that normally you could not do of yourself. We must understand that we have entered into a season in which the enemy have caused so much havoc and so much chaos in our lives, and he wants us to feel as if that we cannot advance or move forward in God due to the attacks and the hindrances as well as the roadblocks that he has placed within our way. And because of these, sometimes as believers, even though we're saved, even though we love the Lord, even though we have a prayer life, there are times when you feel that you are stuck in a situation that you can't advance or proceed in time. I know we don't want people to think that because we come to church and we have a smile on our face, but there are real things that happens to us. The reality of it is that there's some things that will cause stress in your life. There's some things that cause pain. There's some things that causes discomfort that happens in your life, and whether it's in your finances or whether it's with your children or a family member or something that you're just dealing with, even from your past, there are times that we feel that we're stuck where we are and that we cannot advance or move to the next level or to the next place that God is calling us to. But how many know that God, if God calls you to purpose, and if he selected you or if he's chosen you, and something in your spirit suggests to you that where I am is not where I should stay or where I'm supposed to be, but there got to be something more because there's a craving and there's a yearning, amen, that there's even an urgency in my spirit, amen, that I need to press beyond the place that I am, even though there's a struggle in the pressing, but something won't let me stay here, but something is calling me to go forward. Is there anybody in here, amen, that knows what I'm talking about today? I just can't be satisfied with the norm, amen. I can't be satisfied with mediocrity anymore because there's a place, there's something in my spirit that says to me that I'm better than what I'm going through. There's something in my spirit that says to me I'm greater than what I'm dealing with, and I'm even greater than the opinion of what people has placed upon me. So therefore, it's a struggle for me. But the enemy knows that, but yet I cannot stay in this place. So you must understand that God now is releasing an anointing. The Bible speaks about, amen, that in the last days he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. So that means that there is going to be a corporate anointing for the believer. But what I'm saying to you, that the anointing that we're referring to in this hour and this place is not an anointing for you to look at as a pun that will get you up, that you can sing a song and everybody fall out. It's not an anointing for you to think that now I can preach a sermon and everybody got excited, so now I feel that I'm anointed. It's not an anointing for you to look at and think your chest stuck out and everybody is calling my name. That's not the anointing that God is releasing amongst the believer. But what he's doing, he says, I'm giving you an enabling power to perform and to pursue and to advance no matter what's in your way. I'm giving you an enabling power that's going to change your course of destiny. Tell somebody there's about to be a change. Here we see in our text, and I'm going to try to be expeditious as possible. According to the text, we find a young man by the name of David who tended the sheep for his father. We understand that during this time that God is now doing something in the spirit realm. He was shifting some things at the same time that he was setting up some things. What do you mean? I'm talking about if you go previously before in the other chapters, you will find that there was a reigning king by the name of Saul. The Bible speaks about Saul, and it talks about, you know, how Saul was great in stature, and he was elected by the people, and God, and the people came to Samuel, and I may go back to that in the text in a few moments, and how they wanted a king, because there was a man the time that here that they wanted a king to judge over them. But you must understand that these people, amen, was a people who were governed by God. And what God did, God had judges, amen, whom he elected, and prophets that would speak to the nation of Israel. And he would tell them as God's chosen people of what he wanted through the judges and through the prophets. But the people became weary, and they wanted to be, amen, they saw how the Philistines and other nations, the Amalekites and others, how they would come in and how they would fight against them in war. war against them. So they wanted a king, somebody that they were, that was tangible, that they could see or that they could feel, amen, that they can talk to or to go to, that they felt would be the champion of their nation. And as we find, according to history, according to the books prior to that, we find that God allowed Saul to be king. But it came a time that Saul disobeyed God. The Bible says, as when Saul disobeyed God because they came up to war against the Amalekites and others, and God told them what I needed you to do. He says, I want you to destroy everything. Don't keep anything. The Bible says that what the people did, that they kept the best, amen, they kept the best lambs and they kept the best of the flocks, and they were saving them for themselves, and they called themselves going to offer them up as a sacrifice unto God. But God said, destroy everything. You got to understand this something here. What God was trying to show them, I don't need anything of the enemy for me to be blessed. He wanted them to destroy everything that the enemy had, but yet they kept some things for themselves. The Bible says because of this, God sends Samuel to Saul to instruct him, to let him know that God now has rejected you because you did not obey the voice of God. So now that there is about to be a shifting, now what's about to happen, you must understand that God is now shifting the kingship, and he's about to anoint somebody else to be king. And here David, even though he was young, but yet God had an assignment for him and a purpose for him to be king. Now, as we look here at verse chapter 16, amen, of this chapter, and I'm looking at verse 1, read Minister Canty, chapter 16 and verse 1, read the word of the Lord.
And the Lord said unto Samuel,
yes,
how long wilt thou mourn for Saul?
Now the Lord says unto Samuel, how long are you going to cry over Saul? Read.
Seeing I have rejected him.
Seeing that I have rejected him. I gave him an opportunity to produce what I've called him to do. Amen. But I have rejected him now. Uh-huh.
From reigning over Israel.
Read. Uh-huh.
Fill thine horn with oil.
He says, fill thine horn with oil. Read. Uh-huh.
And go.
Uh-huh.
I will send thee to Jesse.
Yes.
The Bethlehemite.
Yes.
For I have provided me a king among his sons.
Now he says, I'm sending you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Notice what God says to Samuel. Get up, stop crying over the past. He says, go forward because I have provided me a king to reign over Israel. Now, I need to share something with you here because we need to back up to chapter number 8. We need to back up to chapter number 8, amen, of 1 Samuel, amen, beginning at verse 4. And I'm just going to read it real quickly, amen, just so that for the sake of time. It says, then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and it said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways, now make us a king to judge us like other nations. But this thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me. Then should I admit that I should not reign over them. So understand, hey man, when Saul became king, Saul was the people's choice. Amen, somebody. The people chose Saul. So God permitted them that they have the selection of their choice. But here we find out when it came to David, the Bible says, for I have, amen, I want you to go and anoint, for I have provided for me a king. Amen. So David was God's choice. Amen, somebody. Understand something here. Amen, because there is somebody, amen, that has dropped the ball. There's somebody that has not been faithful or did what God wanted to do. There has been somebody that has been elected and selected by the people, and God permitted somebody to be in the place of, permitted somebody to do a certain thing because the people wanted it so bad. But recognize, God is saying that there is a shift in the atmosphere, and because they were the people's choice, they were not able to fulfill my obligations. But he says, now I'm anointing and I'm shifting and I'm placing an anointing on somebody because you are now my choice. I dare you to tell somebody you are God's choice. You don't know it, but God is saying to you, I know it don't look like it. I know you don't even think, somebody might not even think you have the education for it. Somebody might not even think that you're in a place, amen, that you should be called God's choice. But it's not about what you have. It's not about what you own. It's not about your educational level. It's not about any of those things. God says, simply because I said you're my choice, because you, I know your heart, and you have a relationship with me, now I'm selecting you. Not what the people think, but what I say. Y'all gonna follow me here? Because you got to remember that David was one that was known as a worshiper. David played music skillfully. David would be out in the fields, amen, having a job that nobody else wanted. You must understand something about David. Being a shepherd was one of the lowest jobs on the totem pole. Being a shepherd was considered to be, it was not a job of honor. Being a shepherd was not one that people would choose, amen, being a shepherd. David had the job of tending sheep. But you must understand that when you learn how to be faithful over a few things, amen, God can make you ruler over many. There's some of you right now, you might not feel that what you're doing is a big job, or you may not have a big title, and everybody may not call your name when you walk in, and everybody may not acknowledge you. You might just be a doorkeeper, or you might just be a floor sweeper, or you might be just one passing out a fan, or you might just be the one that's passing out tissues, or whatever the case may be. But it doesn't stop God from seeing what you're doing. It doesn't stop God from seeing your heart. But as you pass and as you sweep the floor, you yet worshiping God. You yet praise God. You still love him in spite of how small the task. And what God is saying, I'm not looking for those that's trying to be seen. I'm not looking for those that's trying to be out front. I'm not looking for those that's trying to gain recognition unto themselves. But what I'm doing, I'm choosing the one that everybody looked over. I'm choosing the one that everybody thought wouldn't be anything. I'm choosing the one that people did not think had the ability to do. He says, I'm shifting and I'm anointing them because I'm going to bring a change to their destiny. And God is saying, I'm going to cause you to come to the forefront. And nobody thought it could be done. But God said, because I'm placing an anointing upon you, it shall be done. Can I get a witness here beside the Holy Ghost? Now you must understand, David being a shepherd, he yet had a relationship with God. Saul being the people's choice, David being God's choice. You must understand that according to the scriptures, amen, amen. I want to go back very quickly to show you something according to the scriptures, that man's standards does not necessarily measure up to what God's standards are. Because here we find in 1 Samuel chapter 10, and let's look at verse 23, and I'm going to get on to what my thought is. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 23. Amen. Read that very quickly, verse 23 and verse 24. Read that.
And they ran and fetched him then.
Yes.
And when he stood among the people,
yes,
he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward.
Now this was doing Saul's selection. Amen. Amen. He was tall. He was big. His shoulders stood upward. Saul stood above all the people. Read.
And Samuel said to all the people. See ye him who the Lord hath chosen.
See ye him because of his stature. They were looking at the outward exterior of this man. See you him whom the Lord hath chosen.
That there is none like him among all the people.
That there's none like him. Nobody is as tall as he is. Nobody's stature is as tall or great as his. There's none like him in all the people. Truly, this is who the Lord has chosen. Read.
And all the people shouted and said. God save the king.
God save the king. Now, amen, because he was the people's choice, because of his stature and his physique and because of his appearance, amen, he stood out. So everybody was in agreement, this must be who God has chosen. But remember, this is what the people's choice. God just permitted him, hallelujah, to be king. Now notice in chapter number 10, beginning at verse 1, when thing is done by the people, then God allows it to be done in a way, amen, that's being produced by man. I'm going to show you something. Because look, it says in verse number 10, read verse chapter 10 and verse 1, read this.
Then Samuel took a vial of oil.
The scripture says, then Samuel took a vial of oil.
And poured it upon his head.
We're going to stop right there. Remember, this is the one that everybody saw. Saul was the people's choice. So when things are done by people, God let it be handled by people in a people's way. Because it says here that then Samuel took a vial of oil. Y'all ain't gonna see that. A vial was considered to be a picture or a man-made vessel. Alright, remember that. Alright, he was man's selection. He was man's choice. Amen. Now it had to be done man's way. Y'all ain't catching me. Alright, okay, amen. But let's go now to chapter 16. Alright, we're gonna go to chapter 16 and I'm gonna show you something. Amen. Chapter 16 again. Amen, amen. And I want you to look at verse 6. We're going to look at verse 7 because Samuel goes to his father David's, Jesse's house to find the king now because God told him to do that, amen, in verse number 1. We understand that. But let's look at verse 7. Let's look at what happens before he became king. David becomes king. Read.
But the Lord said unto Samuel.
Let's look at verse 6 first. 6 then 7.
And it came to pass.
Yes.
When they were come. That he looked on Eliab. And said.
All right. When it came to pass, he looks at the eldest son. He looks at Eliab and he says what?
Surely the Lord's anointed is before him.
Surely the Lord's anointed is before me. All right. In other words, he looked at how Eliab looked. All right. He didn't know nothing about his relationship with God. He just looked at the outward exterior of Eliab and he said, surely he already made that mistake before and he's about to make it again. Read, because of what he sees. All right. Read.
But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance.
But the Lord spoke to him, don't you look at how he looked. Don't you try to judge what I'm placing in position by their outward exterior. It's not about what you see, the reason I'm doing this. That was before when man did it. He said, but I'm getting ready to do this. All right, let's look at it. Don't you look at his countenance. Read.
Or on the height of his stature.
Or the height of his stature. Read.
Because I have refused him.
Because I have refused him. Read.
For the Lord seeth not as man seeth.
For the Lord seeth not as man seeth.
For man looketh on the outward appearance.
For man looketh on the outward appearance.
But the Lord looketh on the heart.
But the Lord looketh on the heart. You got to know that God is saying here, I'm looking for somebody that has a relationship with me. I'm not looking at folk trying to be cute and some people trying to be, all of that and be important. God is saying, that's not who I'm getting ready to use in this last day. I'm anointing folk that have a relationship with me. I'm anointing folk, amen, that whether you live in the big house or the small house, you still pray to me. Whether you drive, amen, a Bentley or whether you drive a little bug, guess what? I'm looking for somebody that loves me more than they love things. Loves me more than they love, you know, what people want people to see about them. I want somebody that got a relationship with me. This is what God was saying. Hallelujah. Now drop down to verse 12.
And he sent and brought him in.
And he sent and brought him in. Now we're talking about David. If you read that, read it home at your leisure, you'll find out he brought all the sons. All seven of them came before Samuel, amen, that Jesse brought to be king. The Bible says, amen, that when he didn't see that the Lord was selecting any of them, the Bible says that the question was asked, is there another son? And then they say, yes, there is one more. He's out in the field. Amen. And now they brought him in. That was David being out in the field. Now verse 12 says, and when they read verse 12, and they see sent and brought him in. Read.
Now he was ruddy.
All right. Now notice that word ruddy. Now it does not mean that he was smaller. That word ruddy there in the Hebrew means he was reddish. He had reddish hair or something about his complexion. He probably, you know, had the little suntan or something because he was always out in the field. But he had a reddish, amen, a reddish kind of a something about him, according to the Hebrew translation. And you must understand something. Because he was the youngest, he was not the tallest, amen. Because he was the youngest, he was not the biggest, because David was considered to be a little boy during this time. So he was not looked upon as somebody of great stature because he was small, and then he had some imperfections. He was red looking. Amen. All right, I'm going to get there. Read.
And with all of a beautiful countenance.
But yet there was something about him. Amen. Of his countenance that shined. Whenever you got a relationship with God, I don't care what people think about you. I don't care how short your hair is. I don't care your set dress size, your suit size, or your shoe size. I don't care nothing about that. When you got a relationship with God, there's something that looks good about you. All right, read.
And goodly to look to.
Read,
And the Lord said.
Arise.
Anoint him. For this is he.
Read.
Then Samuel took the horn of oil.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. When it came to Saul, he took the vial of oil. But when God says, I'm choosing him, he said, get the horn of oil. Somebody may not understand. The vial of oil was made by man's hand. The horn of oil came from the ram that God made. Y'all ain't catching this. God said, take the thing that I made and anoint who I selected. Oh, God. Now, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to show you something that he says, anoint him. The one that I chose with the horn that I made. Now that word anoint here in the Hebrew is the word mashak. Everybody said mashak. I spell it for you. M-A-S-H-A-C-H. M-A-S-H-A-C-H. Now the word mashak simply means in the Hebrew, it means to rub with oil. It means to smear upon. Rub with oil, smear upon, with the implication to set aside for consecration. Tell somebody he's being set apart. All right? It also means to paint on. Okay? Now, what are you saying? Remember, David came out of the field. Ruddy, red looking. Out of the field. Not as quite as tall as everybody else. Because remember, man was looking at the outward appearance. But God now says, anoint him. Which means you rub the oil on him and you smear it all upon him. Because what God was saying, you paint over him because I'm trying to cover his imperfections. Y'all ain't hearing me. What God is saying, what I'm about to do in this last hour, I'm anointing people and I will cover your imperfections. You might not be as thin as somebody else. And you may not be, hand may not be as long as somebody else. Amen. But God is saying, it ain't got nothing to do with how you look. But it got everything to do with your heart. And God is saying, I'm anointing you and I'm covering your imperfections. In other words, I'm going to use you in this hour to do things that other folk can't do. It don't have nothing to do with how you look, but I'm covering you. Tell somebody, he's painting all over you right now. It is the anointing that paints over your imperfections. People look for people that look perfect. They look for people with gifts. They look for people that look like they got it all together. But God is say I'm not using folk that got it all together. I'm calling folk with imperfections, because those are the people that love me. Those are the people that want me. And I can cover that imperfection, and I can let them do a perfect work with an imperfection vessel. Tell somebody, he's not anointing me because I'm perfect. Ooh. He's anointing me because I'm a worshiper. Anybody know you don't have it all together? Is there anybody that know you still need help? Is there anybody that know that God's not finished working on you? Sometimes I may not look like somebody else. You come on here. Hallelujah. But yet God says, when I anoint you, I cover everything about you that don't look like somebody else. I don't see you perfect, amen, through who you, what you look like, but I see you perfect by what I painted you to look like.
You've been listening to Bishop Sandy T. Burks, pastor of New Restoration Community Church in Henderson, North Carolina, with part one message, There Is an Anointing for a Change from This Time Forward. Be sure to tune in with Bishop Burke every Monday and Saturday at 1 p.m. right here on the NFI Radio Gospel Network. They're located at 817 East Andrews Avenue, Henderson, North Carolina, zip code 27536. P.O. Box 1411, Henderson, North Carolina.
NFI, North Carolina, Georgia, California, New York, Seattle, Washington, around the world, in studio, NFI, Radio Gospel Network, the number one quartet station in the world. In HD2. Come on in. We've been expecting you. Catch the wave. Stop for music at its best. Catch the wave in HD2.
Working for God is a full-time job. Working. Yes, it is. Working for God is a full-time job. Working for God is a full-time job. Spread love to everyone you meet, to keep Satan at his feet. Working for God is a full-time job. Yes, it is. Sometimes I get a little tired.
just as much as you please, but the more you talk, I'm gonna bend my knees. I got to work for Jesus. I got to work for Jesus. I got to get my reward when I get in heaven. I'm gonna sit right down, ask my Lord, is all of this mine? Can I get me a witness? Can I get a witness? Can I get another witness? Oh, can I get a witness? I wonder when you meet me there.
Trying to get across the street. It could have been me living in the streets, y'all. It could have been me with no food on my table to eat. But you know what? Cause it could have been me. Shooting highway.